Thank you very much, and I'd also like to pay my respects to the elders past and present of the land of which we are meeting today. I'm going to talk about the Victorian public sector. And the reason why I'm going to talk about the Victorian public sector is that it is 9% of the Victorian workforce. And so what we do actually has an impact. I'll just get my act together here. I'll just go through this, just go through the metrics quite quickly for you. We have 1,855 employer bodies, 1,600 of those are schools, and we deal with basically 300 employer bodies by and large. But we have 250,000 employees across the state, of which 200,000 of those are full-time equivalent. So you'll work out quite later on that we have an awful lot of part-time staff. And it's made up of the public service, which is what you'd call the traditional public service, servicing ministers, and which makes up about 15%, and public entities, which are hospitals, TAFEs, colleges, and a whole range of others. When you look at us, in compared to some of the other major employers, and it was hard to get data from other industries, by any indication, the Victorian public sector is a major employer Australia-wide. That in itself is not the end of the story. Victorian public sector, the Victorian government, is a major funder of other employment through the not-for-profit sector, through infrastructure construction, PPPs, and a number of other areas, grants to local government, who are then an employer in their own right, and the commercial outsourcing of government services. So it's 250 plus. We deliver a range of services, and I won't go into them in detail, but 61% of our services and our employees are in health and education. We are direct service delivery in core service provision. The public service is 15%, then you've got police and emergency services, TAFE, others, arts, transport, etc., water and land management. There's, of the growth in public sector employment over recent years, 70% of that growth has been in the health sector, 40%, government schools and TAFE, 20%, police and emergency services, water and land management. We're also a highly professional labour force. Currently, 68% of our employees have a tertiary qualification, advanced diploma and above. At the moment, of the new graduates entering the Victorian public sector, 75% start with a degree. We're a highly feminised workforce, far more feminised than the rest of the Victorian population. 60% of all our workers are female, and there's more women than men across all age groups. We're old. I'll just leave it at that. Compared to the rest of the population, we're old, but eventually we'll become younger. We are also a fair few of our staff are part-time. We've already accepted and recognised the needs of work-life balance, and 40% are part-time compared to 30% in the normal population. And that is reflected for a range of reasons, some of which has been mentioned, definitely family responsibilities, but also responsibilities with regard to the aged parents, but also a number of employers allow staff to actually take time off, either on a part-time basis or part of their employment contract, to do community work a day a month or something like that. So there has been a major change. It also reflects the type of industries that we operate in that lend themselves to some part-time employment. And more importantly, in this current circumstances, we're a major employer in rural and regional Victoria. 27% of Victorians live in rural Victoria, but 31% of public servants. 80,000 public sector employees work in rural Victoria and counts for 10% of the rural workforce, as opposed to 9% overall. And rural and regional workforce is older, and it's a greater proportion of part-time. What I'd like to talk about is the challenges facing this quite large, diverse and spread workforce. These are challenges that we've been grappling with for a while, and in some of them we've met quite well. These are things that have been happening over the last 20 years, and indicates the public service is far from static. We no longer deliver one service model. We haven't for a long time. We are very much engaged in consumer-focused funding for high-need individuals and families, which means we don't no longer decide that we know what's best for your family. We allow families and work with families to deliver sensible packaging for them, particularly in the older age sector, but also very much for parents of children with a disability. Recognises the differences between communities and developing strategies associated with that. Partnerships with the private sector, shifts from a provider to a purchaser, and increased reliance on the not-for-profit sector to deliver many traditional government services. Partnership with individuals can meet ongoing needs, and this partnership is both financial and active. So what we're saying, what people are saying to us, we'll put some money in if we've got more choice and you give us some of your money in return. And there's a significant increase in the public sector on being a regulator and an inspector rather than a deliverer of services. And when you look at education, you look at health, you look at a whole range of services. We, you know, while we remain the primary provider in education, and I believe we always will, 35% of people, you know, aren't in the state system. But what those parents want from the state system is quality curriculum, quality trained teachers that are registered and licensed, and, you know, quality inspectorial services. One of the other challenges in a more defined workforce is police and emergency services, and they've faced significant challenges over recent years. There historically have been a command and control model, and that's done for the obvious reasons of maximum efficiency and maximum safety for our members and for our workers in emergency services. You can't go into a situation of danger without having rigid controls and mechanisms. Yet, suddenly we ask them to turn around and be a friend of the community, as they should be, working with communities and especially engaged in some of the more significant strategies of the government in recent years in mitigating domestic violence and community violence. So, again, this has been a major, major change. But like Sharon has said, we're also dealing with other major, major changes, as are you. Victoria's population is growing. In 2007, we had 80,000 additional members join the Victorian population. That's equivalent to Shepparton and Horsham in 1 year, and that's not going to change. We anticipate that we will have 7.4 million by 2036 from a current 5.13 million today. That has major impacts on infrastructure and the major impacts on the way government does work. Our population is ageing, major effect on services. Our working age population is going to decline, that affects us all. There is intrastate migration, especially to the coast and larger regional centres, and interstate migration. We're also faced with the challenge of environmental impacts, and how, why and where we've got environmental impacts is another discussion, but we have to deal with the outcomes of those. And the bushfires in Victoria and the effect that that's had on service delivery, the amount of effort that's gone into that, is not going to go away. And so that's a major rethink about the way the public sector works, the way the public sector works together, and what we require of our staff. Many staff worked 7 days a week for 3 or 4 weeks to deliver for the citizens. And there's challenges that we have to grapple with, as being discussed previously, with the financial issues of the Victorian and Australian economy. I'd just like to point out that as economic activity declines, government revenue declines, as it does for most other businesses. But as economic activity declines, demands on public services and the public sector increases. Income support, whether direct or non-direct, family support programs, and the stimulus packages. The states are delivering the stimulus packages, as I was speaking to one of my colleagues at the table today. There's going to be 20,000 social housing units and repairs and maintenance to another 2,500, all to be done in 18 months. There's new facilities at schools, $2.5 billion to be spent on new facilities in schools over an 18-month period, as well as upgrade and refurbishment of existing school structures. And there'll be road and rail infrastructure, we hope, coming out of the federal budget. But what I'm saying is that This is additional work on the service and on the sector, which is good for the citizens of Victoria. We also have, at the moment, staff shortages that we're grappling with. You're grappling with yours, we're grappling with ours. Some of them are unique to us, some of them are across the private and state sectors, and private sectors. The emerging challenges for us in the public sector for our workforce is increased state activity, some driven by the federal government, some driven by our own needs to maintain our infrastructure, our water and our transport services, the bushfire response as I've mentioned, and the possible effects of increases in antisocial behaviour and some of the imported antisocial behaviour. Future workforce. There's no question we'll have increased feminisation of the workforce. A lot of that has to do with us as an employer, the opportunities we provide, but also the flexibility that we provide. There will be continued demand for flexible working hours. There will be increase in tertiary qualifications. That's evident now, and the corollary of that is that people who are unskilled, they'll have less opportunities in the sector. We will remain a major employer and we'll remain a major rural employer. We'll be younger in profile and we must utilise retirees and their knowledge, and that's the piece of work that's already been done throughout departments and the sector. The skills that our staff are going to require and the things that they'll be asked to do continues in the area of contract management, outsourcing and partnering. There's no question that regulation and inspectorial activities will be a significant proportion of our work in future, and this needs to be done smartly. We're no help to anybody to have inefficient regulation and inefficient inspectorial services. We've got to do it well. Service delivery has got to equal outcomes. Service delivery is not about activity, it's about achievement. Good systems thinking. We are a major systems provider, but we can only work if we've got good systems and good communication ability. And that's not just speaking and communicating with our user groups. It also talks about being able to write, communicate in many ways. And finally, the skills that we're looking for in our workforce are the skills we're looking for in today. They must be flexible and agile. You don't come into the Victorian Public Service or the Victorian Public Sector and do one job for life. You might have the same employer for life, but you don't do one job for life. So you've got to be flexible, you've got to be agile, you've got to be responsive to change, both internally driven and externally driven. You have to come with innovation and you have to come with resilience. We see the Victorian Public Sector as being a major player in the life of Victorians. But we've got to be smart and we've got to be active and we've got to provide the opportunities for good quality employees to want to come and work with us and want to stay with us and want to contribute to the communities in which they're engaged. That's us.